Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you today. We're in the middle of a series on Gentiles within Messianic Judaism. A Messianic rabbi who wrote an odious blog which blatantly misrepresented the Messianic community of the Harvest inspires this series. We reached out and tried to dialogue with him and his elders to clarify and correct the misunderstandings and misrepresentations. But neither he nor any one of his six elders would respond. This was sad and unfortunate, seeing how we long to build a practical and working unity between Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles. Keep in mind that our heart in this show is to really address the misunderstandings and misconceptions and misrepresentations which often divide us and keep us separated. We want to address these and we want to clarify these and hopefully build a case for a strong and practical, vibrant unity between Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles. So welcome to Torah Talk and thank you for your prayers and support. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome in the studio today with me my co-host, Pastor Russ, and Torah teacher, BJ. How are you both doing and are you ready for another show?
As a Messianic, or as a Gentile who's practicing Messianic Judaism, I am excited to to really explore this topic. This has been encouraging, and I think this is a fabulous series, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
It's great. Pastor Russ?
Ditto, BJ. That's good. Yes, I'm happy to be a Messianic Gentile myself, proud and glad, because that's who God made me to be. So yeah. I love the podcast that we're doing. I love the subject. And I love looking into the Word of God to see what God actually says about some of the things that we as believers in Messiah are doing or not doing.
Yes. And we just want to say, if you're Jewish, be proud of that. Amen. Celebrate that. If you're a Gentile, be proud of that. Amen. Celebrate that. We need to be comfortable, not only in our own skins, we need to rejoice in how God has made us. Amen. And if you're called, among the Jewish people to embrace Messiah and to live out that vibrant faith, praise God. And if you're called among the nations by God to come out, embrace Messiah, and walk in the beauty of the covenants, great. We rejoice in that God is not only saving Israel, he is saving the nations. Amen. And that was promised early on to Abraham and Sarah, and it's coming to pass in front of our very eyes, and we're excited about that. So keep in mind that this show is a midrash and not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or theological treatise on the subject. We are simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you as well as ourselves, and we reserve the right to change our minds and our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Messiah. Praise God. So, with that being stated, I want to jump into the next part of this blog and this Messianic rabbi stated concerning us, our congregation. It says, referencing me, his congregation apparently uses Jewish prayers. I always want to say lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no. You know. Okay, so that's ridiculous, right?
You totally lost me.
I deserve to be on the wall of weird. I admit it now. Okay?
Jewish prayers.
That's right. Okay, so his congregation apparently uses Jewish prayers because he has to explain why they have so much Hebrew in their service. Bottom line, no one needs to become Jewish because you can simply act like a Jew without becoming one. How does that just initially come across to you that he would make that type of conclusion to us using Jewish prayers, that he equates that with we're actually simply acting like Jews when we do this? We're not, you know, we don't want to be a Jew. We just want to act like a Jew.
I think he makes a couple of assumptions just in this short little bit. One, I think he's trying to clarify that he's never listened to one of the actual services, right, or he's never been a part of one of the services. So he's making an assumption that, one, if we use Hebrew in our service, it means that they're Jewish prayers, which is already an assumption.
Yeah.
All you said at one point in a sermon was we use Hebrew in our services.
Yeah.
We use some Hebrew in our services.
Yes.
He's making an assumption that we're using either some sort of, you know, Jewish from, you know, that there's some sort of Orthodox Jewish prayers that it is that we're using within our services. So he's already making that assumption. But then to say, if we're doing Jewish prayers, what we're telling people is that there's no need to become Jewish because you can just act like one.
Yes.
I don't know that that's ever been a part of our statement of faith or concept of feel free not to convert. Now, we don't encourage people to convert, but we've never said, don't convert because you can just act like a Jew.
Yes.
You don't have to become one. Just act like one.
Yes.
I have never heard you. I've known you for 20 years and I have never heard you say to me, don't convert because just act like one instead. Skip the whole conversion process.
Save some money. Just act like one.
Yeah. You know, we have definitive opinions on why we don't encourage people to convert, but none of them are because of the hassle of what it takes to convert. And so you should just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so just act like one instead.
In fact, that what we have stated at different times in the past is if you want to become Jewish under Jewish law, then you have to convert. Go and convert. Just keep in mind that you can't be a deceiver when you convert. You know, they honestly want to know if you believe that Jesus is exclusively the Messiah of both Gentiles and Jews. Don't play games. Don't be a deceiver. Just be upfront. Mm-hmm. Let the rabbis know that you believe that Jesus is Lord of all and that outside of him there is no salvation. Now, that'll probably screw up your conversion. I'm just trying to let you know ahead of time to save you some grief in that regards. But I hear of so many Gentiles going through a conversion and keeping that information from the rabbis when they know full well that the rabbis would want that.
Right.
And it's very, very sad that Gentiles are doing that. No, if you want to convert, convert. And when you convert, it's like joining the Broncos. You're joining an ethnos, a people group, a system of beliefs and values. Be sure to adhere to the halakha. If you convert under Orthodox auspices, then you need to embrace the halakha of those entities that you're being a part of. That's integrity. So I see Messianic Gentiles, first of all, hiding the fact that they believe that Yeshua is exclusively the Messiah. And then secondly, after they convert, they don't keep the halakha of the organization that they converted under. They live completely at times apart from that halakha. What do you think you're doing? That is a breach of integrity. So yeah, if you want to convert, convert, and don't hide the fact of who you believe, or just deny Yeshua if that's what you need to do. Sometimes that's more important for people anyway. So, you know, if you need to deny Yeshua, go ahead. There's a price to be paid for that, but convert and show some integrity there, and then walk in that.
Yeah, and I would say don't convert. Paul said don't convert. Remain in the condition in that which you were found. If you came to know Yeshua as a Gentile, you remain a Gentile. So I wouldn't even advocate converting, period.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much opposed to it. We do have some problems when he allowed Titus to be circumcised. That was a conversion. So there are some wrinkles in that that are not easy to address. So I do allow for like a Jewish person who's a Christian who then decides to embrace his heritage. I don't mind if they go through a conversion because they're already Jewish anyway. They're
right.
Just trying to.
They are Jewish.
Yeah. So under Jewish law, they would still need to go through a conversion, which I get that. And so, you know what? I understand those kind of issues. But for Gentiles that don't have any clan identity in terms of ancestry, if you want to convert, that's a little bit different matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Gentile. You're changing your ethnic status. And for what reason? And you know what? I won't even argue with you on that. I'm just saying, hey, when you convert, you better step up to that halakha. And you better not lie about Yeshua. Because there's a day of accounting coming. Mm-hmm. And you will be accountable for that. So, okay. So getting back down to this. Let's look at this again. Because we use some Jewish liturgy. We use some Jewish prayers in some of our liturgy. Some of it's modified, but let's look at that. We do employ some Jewish prayers in our liturgy. In addition, to that, let me go on the record and state that my favorite Jewish prayer is the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're all familiar with the Our Father. Mm-hmm. You ever consider that? It was from a Jewish rabbi. Authentically Jewish. And all his disciples, authentically Jewish. There were no Gentiles in this mix. There was no Gentiles within the context of this prayer. It is authentically a Jewish prayer.
From a Jew to Jews.
From a Jew to Jews, instructing Jews how to pray, right? And so now, I'm just going to say this to the shock and dismay of my rabbi friend. I do not believe you have to be Jewish to recite this Jewish prayer. Are you saying that the 1 billion plus Catholics with all of the Protestants and evangelicals are pretending to be Jewish because they recite the Our Father? I mean, think about that. That's a Jewish prayer. You know, throw that in the mix too. What about the Shema, which comes right out of Deuteronomy chapter 6? You know, what about all the other Jewish prayers that are beautiful, powerful, wonderful prayers inspired by the Spirit of God within the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. You know, to say a Gentile can't recite those, or he's just acting like a Jew, but he doesn't want to be a Jew. I think that's ludicrous. I have Jewish friends. They're honored when I use their Jewish prayers. Mm-hmm. They find that honorable. You know, that the world would be impacted by the beauty of Jewish literature or Jewish liturgy, I think is to be celebrated. And so I just don't understand where he's coming from in that. What do you guys think? I mean, am I stretching that when I say the Our Father is the Jewish prayer?
From Jew to Jews, that seems. I don't think that's stretching it. To me, seems pretty Jewish.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I just when I read that, I just think, who's trying to act like a Jew? I'm not trying to act like a Jew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to celebrate the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah, who I now identify with, and by the way, he grafted me into the Commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. So I'm celebrating these prayers. I love these prayers. They're beautiful prayers. And why am I being accused of? I don't like Jews. I just want to act like Jews.
Right.
You know, that's horrible. That's painful. It's in my estimation, it smacks of spiritual racism. You know, when I was at the Western Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, on multiple occasions when I went to the wall, they handed me a kippah, and I wore a kippah. I was never accused of acting Jewish. You know, when I went there and I wore a kippah and I prayed Jewish prayers at the wall. None of the beautiful Jewish people, that were a part of rabbinic forms of Judaism, none of them came up and said, "Hey, you crazy Gentile, what are you doing? Acting like a Jew? Where does this come from?" You know, it's sad that this comes from Messianic circles, because I don't find it in rabbinic circles at all. Let me tell a short story too. I'm wearing some tzitzit with blue in my tzitzit, and I'm wearing the tallit katan on that particular day, and I'm at the Western Wailing Wall, and I'm up there, and I'm just, praying and meditative and just enjoying the presence of God and the presence of this great city of God and the Jewish people, you know, just incredible. And all of a sudden, this sect of Jews came into that area. The Breslov, I'm not sure how many people are familiar with Breslov, but Breslov is a subset of rabbinic Judaism. And they're very charismatic, very lively, and their kippahs are different. If you've noticed Breslov, at least in the land, at the very top point of the tzitzit, or of the kippah, it's all frayed, you know? It's all frayed. And that's kind of part of their uniform, you know? And so I don't have a kippah like that. But I noticed they have blue in their tzitzit, and they're the only group of Jewish subsets over there, rabbinic subsets, that are wearing the blue. And because I had blue in my tzitzit, they kind of looked at me. You know, they looked at my tzitzit, and they like, this one guy comes over, he grabs me, and he starts speaking Hebrew right away. He's a Sabra, lives in the land. And then I told him I don't speak Hebrew, you know. So he says, America, America, you know. So he says, come, come, brother, come, you know. So he thought I was like this long lost kind of brother from America, and that I needed, you know, I needed to be embraced and helped and brought along, you know. So they brought me over in their group. And so we're all jumping up and down in rhythm together, you know. It was a little bit like a, like, it's kind of like a Jewish mosh pit. So we're jumping up and down. We're all singing and just praising God. You know, it was great. And things kind of calmed down. And they're very respected and honorable rabbi, a very elderly gentleman with a long beard, you know. Seemed like he would look like he was pushing 80, you know. He began walking through the group, and he was laying hands, there were men with him, and he was laying hands on the different men there that were praying at the wall, the Breslov. And I thought, wow, this is just awesome. What an awesome experience. I was just thanking God. And he walked up, and he looked at me, and my kippa was not their kippa. but he knew that I was somehow connected, somehow. And so he looked at me, looked down my zitzit, kind of checked it. Kind of checked both sides out, and he laid his hands on me and prayed for me, you know. And I felt blessed and honored to have that experience, and I enjoyed it. I did not have any sense from anyone there. Oh, he's a crazy Gentile. He's just acting Jewish. You know, be sure to judge him, be sure to marginalize him, make him feel bad, whatever you can do. You know, it's none of that. Mm-hmm. And so when I run into this particular blog and all that's being said about us, I'm thinking, why? Why are you doing this? Why are we not building unity rather than division? And that's been kind of the heart and soul of addressing this blog in the first place.
Well, and I think one of the biggest ways that you can build division between the Jews and the Gentiles is by being deceptive and making yourself out to be a Jew.
That's good.
And, you know, we've seen it happen a lot. And some of us have in some ways done it in our ignorance, where it's like you don't mention, you know, like they just see you do some sort of observance and you don't kind of correct it. But then there's other people who have integrated themselves into the Jewish community. They have made themselves out to be Orthodox Jews, walking out that lifestyle and keeping their belief of Messiah to themselves. And I've seen two things happen. One is in the saddest fashion, they end up denying Messiah at some point.
Yes.
Or two, they end up getting found out and it becomes a big controversy because it is a deceptive, you have portrayed yourself to be someone that you're not. It's like a woman finding out the man she's been dating is married. Like, you're betrayed by that. You know, like, this person has gone into a community saying, this is who it is that I am. And yeah, I'm totally safe and I'm great and I'm fabulous. And then you find out that they've really deceived you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why it is that some of us who are not shy about our belief in Messiah still have a hard time, because the Jewish community is very hesitant about, you know, you've come in here, portrayed yourself to be someone that you're not, deceived us, we've welcomed you in, and you've betrayed us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that causes such division.
Yes.
And I have a much easier time with my friends who can, you know, who can know that I'm a believer and still accept me. Maybe they're still hesitant about, you know, our differences, but there, it's a safe place. You know, we have a difference and they're okay with that versus coming in and trying to manipulate.
And it's very, very complicated. And you've pointed this out as well. You know, this is just crazy, but especially with secular Jews and even among some of the Reform, they want to call you Jewish. You know, when you explain, oh, you know, well, I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I believe he's the Messiah. You know, I keep the Shabbat and the dietary laws because I think the written Torah of Moses is relevant for our lives and stuff. They're like, well, then you're Jewish. Then you're Jewish. Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. I have Jewish people telling me I'm Jewish, you know, because the secular groups within Israel, a lot of times, they do not follow the same lines of definition for Jewishness as what the Orthodox who handle the conversions do. And so it gets complicated at times, you know, and how do you sort that out? I don't know. I just try to clarify as much as I can. Look, I'm a Gentile. That's my ethnicity. Mm-hmm. In Messiah, I'm a child of God, adopted and grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel. Right. And the Torah's written on my heart, too. And so, you know, I try to sort that out, try to clarify that. It's not easy. So Paul calls it the mystery of the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's not that clear to begin with.
Right.
And so it's hard to understand. So I do the best job I can, and some people are going to insist that I'm Jewish, and they want to call me Jewish. And you know what? I can't make them not call me Jewish. I can only try to clarify. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, you know? I think that when you're Jewish, and I know within the Messianic Jewish movement, for instance, there are some pretty amazing and beautiful Jewish leaders, Messianic Jewish leaders, whose mother nor grandmother is Jewish, but their father is, or their grandfather is. And under Jewish law, they're not considered Jewish.
Right.
And yet they're very comfortable saying, yeah, I'm Jewish. I don't follow those lines of definition that Israel as a nation has adopted and embraced. I choose to still call myself Jewish, even though I don't have a Jewish mother. By Jewish law, I'm not Jewish, but I'll still call myself Jewish. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that, too. I don't have a problem. I'm thinking, you know what? Whatever. Let's try to work through our issues and try to be clear on why we believe what we believe and try to build some unity in the midst of that. So it's complex. But let me just kind of throw out a couple more questions here, and then we'll sew this part up. Is praying the Shema and the Psalms, because the Psalms are prayers, and they're actually Jewish prayers written by Jews for Jews. Okay, so is praying the Shema, praying the Psalms, and the Our Father only for Jews? You say, oh, well, that's a straw man. You know, I think it's not. I think it's an actual legitimate question. Who would argue that the Psalms are not Jewish prayers? And so if you pray the Psalms, are you pretending to be a Jew? Are you acting like a Jew in some manner that's unethical? I cannot believe that he could even make these statements about us. It's shocking to see these type of statements, because there is absolutely no foundation of truth or scholarship behind them, and it's just sad, you know.
Right.
Or if you pray, are you acting like a Jew if you do pray those prayers, you know?
Yeah, it's just so hard to answer because it's honestly just such a ludicrous question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is the alternative? Remove everything that's in the Bible that is written by a Jewish person and say that's not for us because that's for Jewish people and we can't pray that. We can't speak those
Where
words.
Would the nations be?
Well, yeah.
We'd
I mean,
be
that's
lost.
Just, it's,
we would have no Bible.
Yeah, it's exactly. We'd have no Bible. That's the whole point. I mean, Yeshua, you know, was asked, what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? Or he asked other people and, you know, Shema. Yeah. That was the first thing he said. You know, he gave the Shema and word for word reiterated that. Of course we're supposed to pray that. Of course we're supposed to know that. I mean, that's just, it's the essence. It's the greatest commandment in the whole word of God.
Yes.
You know?
And you know what? I am thankful for the Jewish people. They have preserved
Amen.
The scriptures.
Yes,
they have
God.
Been used to write the scriptures.
Yes.
And I will pray Jewish prayers till Jesus comes, okay?
Amen.
I'm going to pray these prayers, and I'm not acting like a Jew. I'm identifying with the Jewish people.
Yes.
I'm identifying with the chosen people. Mm-hmm. I love the chosen
yes.
people.
Amen.
And
Amen.
And I've never been hassled by any of the chosen people. Mm-hmm. In praying Jewish prayers,
yes,
or in reading the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, I've been celebrated for doing that. And so, you know what? Let's move on before I get. Okay. So anyway, it goes on. It says he brags at the end of the first message in this series that he is one of the few leaders and runs one of the few organizations that bring Torah to the Gentile. So let's just stop and consider that for a minute, because I believe I'm guilty as charged. Okay, I believe here I'm actually guilty as charged. I think he did a pretty fair assessment of this particular position. And the reason that I think that I'm one of the few leaders that runs one of the few organizations that brings Torah to the Gentile is because I think that's self-evident. I look at Catholicism, and I don't think that they're championing the case for Torah for the Gentile. I look at Protestant churches, same thing. I look at evangelical churches, same thing. We're one of the few churches that actually say the Torah has not been done away with. Mm-hmm. The Torah is relevant today. It's been written on our hearts, and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk in these ancient paths. And I don't know of many Messianic congregations who are saying the Torah is for the Gentile too. We are one of the few ones. So what? I don't get what this charge is. I think it's true. And is that like, am I being deceptive in that? Am I being inaccurate in that? Or is that true?
I think even if you were to do the statistics on how many Messianic congregations there are that are teaching Torah, you've already got a pretty small percentage of what the church looks like.
Right.
And so even if we, and that, you know, that really saddens me of saying that we are an oddity because we teach anyone to do Torah, you know, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. The fact that, you know, we were talking this morning before it is that we were coming about, you know, hey, teaching someone to do Torah, that's just a biblical concept. And you looked at me like I was crazy of the church doesn't teach that we're supposed to do Torah, at least not exhaustively. You know, certainly I'm not saying that the church is completely anti-Torah, because if you're tithing, you're doing Torah. If you're not committing adultery, if you're not murdering, like those are Torah commandments.
Yes.
But to have a concept that says, as a whole, we believe that Torah is still for us today, is earth-shattering within the church.
Yes.
That is not the norm.
That's right.
And even if we were to say every Messianic community, I'm going to go ahead and count them in as saying they're teaching Torah and they'd be okay teaching it to the Gentile, that would still be a small percentage. And we know that some them are not okay. They're not saying that Torah is for the Gentile. They're saying
the majority are saying the Torah is not for the Gentile.
Right.
The majority of Messianic congregations are saying Gentiles need not apply.
Right.
Yeah, and so you're right. You're exactly right. When you do the stats and bring it all the way down, you're right, BJ. We are one of the very few that would do that. And so, yeah, and I'm excited. I think that is the mystery of the gospel. I think that we've got a particular view that's held by a minority of scholars within the church, within Messianic Judaism, that I think is pretty, pretty insightful.
Yeah, Yeshua said, he who does and teaches these things, referring to the commandments, will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Are we supposed to strive to be the least in the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we do not want to bring truth. We want to hide that, or we want to conceal that, or we want to say, gosh, I hope someone else can do it, because we don't want to do that.
Yes.
Goodness gracious, we're commanded to do that, to do and to teach the word of God.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And this is part of tearing down the walls that
yes.
keep us divided and begin to say, wait a minute. Paul has made it very, very clear. Ethnic status doesn't matter, whether it's Jewish or Gentile.
Correct.
What matters is keeping the commandments
yes.
of God.
Yes.
In keeping the commandments of God, we all then are brought into a practical unity
yes.
of shared experiences as we walk out the very fabric of our faith. And so that's where the rubber meets the road. And so we are proud to be one of the few that are actually teaching the Gentiles these great ancient paths, which brings me to this kind of it's not directly related to this, but these type of attitudes that are in this blog are the very things that resulted in Gentiles feeling like they were second class, mm-hmm. chopped liver.
Right.
You know, they came into the Messianic movement over the last, you know, since the late 40s, when the Messianic Jewish movement really kind of, you know, started to really grow. All these Gentiles in mass by the 70s were coming in and overwhelming the Jewish numbers just by percentages. You know, there's not a lot of Jewish people to begin with. And so, you know, there's this whole pushback of, you know what, the Torah's not for the Gentiles. Can you guys kind of keep a low profile, stay in the back? You know, and so there was this feeling of being second class. And so the result was, in their own insecurities, because Gentiles have identity issues like anybody else, right? So you know, in feeling like I'm just chopped liver, I'm nobody, they went off and they developed the error of two-house theology, the Ephraimite movement. And then all these Messianic Jewish leaders are ranting and, you know, I can't believe this. It's heresy. It's another form of replacement theology. Boo, bad hiss. You know, these crazy Gentiles. It's like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is bad theology. It is replacement theology. But you spawned it. You helped that come into being by the way you were treating the Gentiles in the beginning mm-hmm. with these type of attitudes. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, we're one of the few that are saying to Gentiles, hey, you're a part of Israel. You're part of the Commonwealth. You're adopted. You're grafted in. You're a wild olive grafted into the covenant olive tree of Israel. And the Torah, oh, according to Paul in Hebrews chapter 8 and 10, it's written on your heart too. Mm-hmm. Wow. Empowered by the Spirit to walk in these ancient paths. Yeah, it's your heritage. And guess what? The Gentiles love it. Gentiles are coming to our community. They love this because they want to identify with the Jewish people. And they want to come into the Commonwealth of Israel without losing their own heritage or their own ethnicity.
Right.
So when they discover, hey, I can rejoice in being who I am as a Gentile and connect with the Jewish people and walk in the same framework of faith and the same way of life, that's exciting. And people are coming in. We're growing in other congregations that are embracing the mystery of the gospel. They're growing as well. And I see congregations that are actually stuck in these old mindsets. Mm-hmm. They're not growing. They're not growing. That the Messianic Jewish movement in some areas is just dead in its tracks. And until they understand the mystery of the gospel and open up with loving arms to the Gentiles, they're not going to grow. So that's my indirect deal here. Kind of went off on a tangent. So.
Well, I think that's also where it is that you see some people who feel like they have to convert or where they have to play Jewish because they've been told that they're second class. Whether mm-hmm. it is that they've been said those words, they've been made to feel like they're second class. And
yes.
So that's where they then say, well, I want to then be first class. So I need to either convert or I need to play Jewish or I need to, it can come from a place of insecurity
yes.
that has been instilled in them
right.
of you're not good enough.
Yes.
Well, anytime any of us, and we all, you know, we all have these issues of not feeling good enough or not feeling, you know, that we're not as good as what it is that someone else is. It's like, but that's been spawned by people telling them,
yes.
oh, well, that's for the Jew, but you, the lowly Gentile.
Yes.
Well, what does that make you want to do? It makes you want to be the Jew.
Yeah. That's
and so
right.
it comes from a place of going, well, then I want to identify with them.
Yes.
And so then you instead of saying, I'm going to really see myself in the way that God sees me, I'm going to see myself as adopted, where he didn't need to, but he picked me, adopted
yes,
me.
Yes.
Instead of feeling special about that, we then can go off in the wrong path and say, well, then I need to be Jewish, or I need to convert, or I need to play Jewish.
You know, BJ, if you don't understand that point of adoption, mm-hmm. you do, by default, automatically end up out in these groups that are saying, well, I can't be Jewish, but I can be Ephraim. I can be Ephraim, you know? And then you come back and assert yourself as one of the other 10 lost tribes. Move over, brother Judah. You know, I'm one of the, that's still a replacement theology. You're just replacing other tribes
right.
instead of Judah. And it's just crazy, but it's because we miss the concept of adoption. If you can understand, there are no naturally born chosen people, that God picked a pagan group.
Starting and said, with Abraham.
Yeah, he says, I found you in your birth matter in the desert. Mm-hmm. And I adopted you and I cleaned you up and I made you my own. Yeah, he adopted Israel first among the nations to be his people. Mm-hmm. And then he's went on and he's been adopting ever since. And he's adopting even Gentiles from the nations. So once you say, oh, I'm chosen too. Once you realize that God chose you too, guess what? You don't even have to desire to be a part of the chosen people when you're already one of the chosen.
Correct.
Because he's choosing even among the Gentiles, mm-hmm. those who will become his children. And so, yeah, it's a powerful thing. And I'll tell you, it's setting the heart of Gentiles in this movement free. And they're beginning to learn to relate to their Jewish brothers and sisters in a new and wonderful way. And it solves the dilemma of the two-house error that has, you know, really grown in this movement, and it's beginning to address some of the Jewish insecurities within the Messianic Jewish movement as well, that tends to want to look down on the Gentiles because they're not Jewish. So yeah, I think we have a good angle on it, good perspective on it. We're not totally accurate or you know, we don't have a corner on the truth, I guess is what I'm trying to say, but we have some of the truth and we're learning and we're growing and it's exciting. And so we have some Jewish people in our congregation. And the vast majority are Gentile. And that's kind of typical of Messianic Jewish congregations, except there are some Messianic Jewish congregations that are, you know, maybe 80% Jewish or 90%, because they do a really good job keeping those dirty Gentiles away or whatever, you know. sorry, but, you know, so anyway, yeah, I think we're at the end of our show. I can tell we're at the end. So, again, that concludes our program for this week. I think what we're going to jump into next week is the divine name, the holy name of God. And there are some statements about us in a relationship to the divine name that are just misrepresentations. And we will straighten those out. We will clarify our position. I think you'll enjoy it. So, again, that concludes our program. And thank you. A special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, to our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ, and to our teacher, BJ, our listeners and supporters, for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. We thank you so very much. I am your host, Torah Teacher Mark. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.